You're listening to Real Facts on Real Estate with Sean Patrick Maloney.
This sounds good.
Welcome to episode 45, Best Calling Methods. I'm your host, Sean Patrick Maloney. Thanks for joining me this week. The phone is one of the most powerful tools in all the arsenal of tools we have as real estate agents. The phone is a place where we can get a captivated audience, talk with them, show emotion, share feelings, and get a lot of answers, as well as find out a lot of information that we're looking to gather in a quick, short, consolidated method. Texting is great, as in it's very non-intrusive. They're allowed to answer back when they want. Email's awesome because we can write a lot down and get a lot of information out to them in one short thing. But the reality is we don't have a captivated audience, and they know it, and they know they can answer back whenever they want, however they want, and they can pretend like they didn't see things, even if we have read receipts on and things like that. They can pretend like they didn't read the whole email and stuff. Whereas when you have someone on a call, it's hard for them to say, I didn't hear what you said, unless they say it at that very moment, because we are going back and forth with conversation. I prefer the phone over all other methods other than in person. I'm big on the old school methods of actually having conversation, because I do think it's able to resolve a lot, as well as it's able to save you from mixed emotions and things like that, where maybe you send a text that says, haha, and means that you're laughing, and they read it as haha, as in you're laughing at them. So instead of leaving things open to interpretation, phone calls and in person are the two most powerful methods. In person, because you can see their face, you can feel their body emotions, and you can understand what they're saying. Call next, because you can hear the tonality in their voice, as well as you can get those little in-between things. You don't shorthand stuff. You can really say a lot in a very short period of time and get the whole point across. So let's talk about when to call people, why to call people, how to call people, where to call people, and most importantly, who to call. So all the time we're prospecting, whether it be leads that reach out to us through some internet-based source that they're looking for us to reach out to them, or the cold call that's not expecting our call, whether it be a for sale by owner, pre-foreclosure, or other places where we can prospect new business. Calling all those different people, it's really important to know when to call them. So some of the best times to call people are between 8 and 10 in the morning, 12 and 1 in the afternoon, 5 and 7 p.m. The 8 through 10 is a great time because typical people are commuting to work and they have not much to do. So if they get your call, they're likely to answer and have a conversation with you. Especially if you reach that Boston commuter that's sitting in traffic alone, bored, listening to the same song on the same radio station on the same drive during the same behaviors. A little bit of change in pace to actually talk real estate and talk about something they're passionate about, like their house. It's a great time to talk with them. 12 to 1 is a good time because a lot of people are on lunch break. Lunch break's a decent time to talk with people, but you want to plan your shorter communications then, because typically we have anywhere from 30 minutes to 1 hour to eat lunch. And by the time we get to a place, order the food, sit down and eat it, that leaves anywhere in from 10 minutes on a 30-minute lunch to as much as 20 minutes of free time on a one-hour lunch of actual free time, whereas other time we're waiting in line, we're actually consuming the food we bought, and no one likes to talk on the phone and eat food at the same time. So 12 to 1 is a great time. I usually say like 12 to 12:15 or 12:30 to 1 o'clock. Leaving that 15-minute core middle time where you know they're actually doing activities like eating or standing in line, leaving that for the person versus trying to intrude on the wrong time. Always remember, when you actually make a call, you don't need to say to them, is this a good time to talk? That gives a person an honest out. They can say, no, it's not a good time to talk. Know how to listen to tonality and see if the person's being awkward and they're like really trying to rush through the thing and know, okay, let me know a better time to call you back. That's a better method than asking them if they need an out, because if you ask them if they need an out, 9 times out of 10, they're going to take the out and they're going to let you go, especially if they weren't expecting a call. 5 to 7 p.m. is a great time because, again, we have the afternoon commuters. They're heading home. They're getting ready to go visit their family. They're getting ready to cook dinner, all these different things. It's a time where people typically have a lot of time to do it, a lot of time to take your conversation and go and talk about real estate. Between 5 and 7 is an open amount of time. Typically on that one, if I was looking at it to really break it down, 5:30 to 6 is actually probably the prime, because lots of people, they get out at 5, and you're just leaving work, you're packing up, you're walking out to your car, you're walking to the train, you're in between things, not always the best time, whereas 5:30, most people are sitting in some sort of seat, whether it be a car seat, they're in the train, they're back at home, and at that point, they're ready to engage and talk. 7 is about the end line of that, because anytime after that, really, if you're not doing business with someone, it's kind of inappropriate to call after that, because now you're in the dinner hours and you're also in the family time hours, where a person that calls after 7 p.m. should be somebody that's related with them or is already doing business with them. Now, remember, whenever you're working with clients, these rules are not going to apply as much. You're going to actually follow their schedule and you're going to ask them their schedule that works best for them, because ultimately, when you're working with someone, you want to call when they're available. Now, one of the best days that a lot of people use is a down day, a snow days. Snow days are a day where a lot of people don't go to work. A lot of people stay home because the kids need to stay home. They stay home because work's closed. Maybe there's a state of emergency. Maybe they just don't feel like doing anything, so they call in that day. But snow days are a day where us as real estate professionals know we can reach the most amount of people. Do you have somebody you've been looking to get in touch with that you haven't been able to get in touch with in the past? The snow day may be the perfect day to get a call in for them. Remember, on snow days, I said 8 to 10 before on a regular workday. I would reserve that for 9 to 11. Give them an extra hour of sleep so they're in a better mood, so when they speak with you, you're not calling them and waking them up and they're like, oh, I only answered because I thought it was my boss who was going to say I need to come into work or whatever, versus 9, 10 o'clock, they're already up and they're eating their eggs and they're sitting around and they're ready to talk with somebody and they're probably bored because it's snowing outside and the last thing they want to do is go out and shovel. So you just saved them a half hour of going out and shoveling and gave them a little more time to relax in the morning. Remember when having the snow day conversations that it's a great time to prospect cold leads. It's a great time to take on those pre-foreclosures, those for sale by owners, those expired listings, all the different types of listings where we can actually try to get somebody to take on our services. A lot of times on snow days, the phone's actually quiet because a lot of the businesses are closed and a lot of people just take it as a lazy day. So when you're the only person out there working it, you might find a lot of luck. Another day to take a hideaway day and get in with people are days before and days after holidays. I wouldn't suggest calling on Christmas asking if they want to sell their house. Wouldn't suggest calling somebody on Easter and asking if they want to sell their house. But the day before and the day after, typically for a lot of adults, it's a time off because the kids get time off of school and you're sitting there and you're really not that busy. And a quick call about real estate is never a bad thing. One of the things you want to always keep in mind when you're calling people is you got to make sure you're offering them value. Not just asking them for something, but actually offering them some value. So if you're calling somebody and you're asking them to list with you, why not know what the market is like locally for them? Why not tell them a little bit about locally, the current average sale price is XYZ. Current price per square foot is this much. Current days on market is this much. That way there, they feel like, wow, this person knows what they're talking about. They didn't just waste my time, and they provided me with a lot of market statistics and value. So it was actually worth taking that conversation. I might not be ready to sell with them today, right now, but when I do go to sell, they seem to really know what they're talking about. And again, they didn't just take my time for their time and just say, hey, you need to sell with me. I'm the best. I'm amazing. I'm great. I do the best service and I'm available 24/7. They told me a lot about the marketplace and they really were helpful and they really weren't too pushy. So just keep in mind, value is a big thing. Some other methods we use in real estate would be double dial, triple dial, text, voicemail, email, text, and other things. We have a lot of trouble getting a hold of people because sometimes they're trying to vet their phone calls and not answer your call. So sometimes they're trying to break through the wall just to get that original conversation. Breaking through the wall is an important part of the business. Some people are too timid to do it, and it's usually the difference between the successful versus the unsuccessful. Sitting back and saying, hey, I'm not going to do it because they don't want me to get in touch with them. It's just simply failing to commit to actually doing what the job takes and simply admitting to failing at being successful at your job. And so without doing these methods, yes, you don't have to put in as much work, but also you're not going to get as much business. Let's talk about double and triple dialing. Double and triple dialing is a method used often in sales. When you call somebody, they don't answer, don't leave a voicemail, call them right back. Or if they don't answer again, call them back even a third time. Reason for this is there's something in the human mind that has curiosity about who called, why did they call. And when you double dial, there's a higher likelihood they're going to answer the second call because your number is not saved and you called twice, which means it must be important. Well, when you call a third time, it means it must be even more important. Sometimes people will even say, hey, I didn't get your voicemail the first time. I was only calling back to get your voicemail the second time. I don't believe in making excuses for why you did it. Just call them and actually start the conversation. Say, hey, thank you for taking my call today, and jump right into it. Double and triple dialing isn't a bad method. It is a desperate method, so I wouldn't use it all the time. I would use it only after unsuccessfully reaching out to somebody for a little bit of time. I prefer using the text, voicemail, email method. And the text, voicemail, email method, there's no exact method to it. There's no science to it. But let's talk a little bit about what it is. So when we first reach out to someone, whether we choose phone, text, or email, doesn't really matter. In each method of communications during this method, we're actually going to let them know that we were unsuccessful to get a hold of them that way, and we're going to reach out to them another way. So if I was to text somebody, I would text them and say, hey, this is Sean Maloney over at Movementum Realty. I look forward to talking to you about 142 Main Street over there in Hingham, Massachusetts. Please reach out to me when you have a chance. Then, if they don't answer back, I would text them again. Hey, this is Sean checking in. Did you get my text? ? Then the third time. Hey, this is Sean reaching out. It seems like you might not text. I'm going to reach out to you through email. Okay, so now I've moved myself from text to email, but I've also told the person, you better reach back out to me because if you don't, I'm going to continue bothering you. So this tells them I'd be better off to text them back or I'm going to be getting an email. So then when you write an email, you say, hey, this is Sean Maloney over at Movementum Realty, reaching out to you on 142 Main Street over there in Hingham, Massachusetts. I really look forward to talking with you. I wanted to go over some market details and some information. I had sent you a couple texts, but they didn't go through, so I wanted to check in with you through email because I figured that might be a better method for you. One of the nice parts about what we're doing here is we're letting them know we're going to reach back out to them, but we're also taking personal blame. We're saying, I reached out to you that way, and it probably wasn't the best for you, so I'm sorry about that, and I'm going to move into this method. After a few emails, they don't answer you. You're back to the drawing board, and you say, what the heck to do? Well, don't leave an email saying, reach out to me when you get a chance, and dead-end the conversation where you can't reach back out to them. In the email, say, I've been trying to reach you through text and email, which doesn't seem to be the best method to get a hold of you. So I'm going to call you at 11 a.m. on Tuesday. Give them a time of day, and follow that time and day. What you're going to do by doing that is you're going to show that you're reliable. You've now told them a time and day, and you called at that time and day. I can guarantee you, if you have a live body that actually wants to speak with you, the more you use this method and you continue to circulate through each one of these methods, the more likely that they are going to answer. They're going to realize you're persistent, which is big in a salesperson. You're reliable because you set time and dates. You have self-accountability because you said it's not their fault they haven't reached you. It's your fault you haven't reached them. And continue to work that cycle, you're going to get more people. As you work that method and get more people, you're going to see your network continue to expand and you're going to see growth in all levels. So working the phones that way is probably one of the smartest ways. I tend to start with the phone call versus the text and the voicemail because I believed in just really spearheading it and getting on it, getting onto the phone with them. We can move to text after, but I feel like for the original interaction, for that original meetup, it's really nice to just put a voice to the face or whatever you want to call it because we're talking on the phone and not a face to the voice where that's speaking in person, but really getting an understanding of who the person is. And typically in the first conversation, there's a lot to say. So when you start in text and you have a lot to say and you don't know the person, it can be really challenging in the fact that you really don't know what emotion they're actually saying. Do they have a bad attitude? Do they have a good attitude? Are they upbeat? Are they not? It's really important to me to hear their voice and to have those conversations at the very beginning so that I know. And then when I speak with them the first time, I say to them, you know, what's the best method and when's the best times to actually get in touch with you? Are you a texter? And, you know, some people might say to you, you know what, I actually prefer talking on the phone. And other people say, you know what, I love texts. You can send them anytime. I'll reply back when I get a chance. And then some people might say, you know, I'm a really busy person, so if you could email me, I use my email box as kind of my to-do list, and I'll go through the emails and I'll get back to you as I have time. You got to remember that as important as housing is, It's surprising sometimes how low of an importance level it has to the person that you're doing business with. I know every day whenever we wake up, we always like to think of ourselves as the most important person, as the most important thing that's going on, is exactly what we're dealing with. But the reality is, not everybody feels that way about everything that we think it should. And housing is one that I know when I first got involved with it was surprising to me that people would tell me like they don't have time. I'm like thinking, what do you mean you don't have time? This is your only house. You need a place to live. You have about 25 days to get this done and you don't have time to talk to me. Well, you know, just work with what works best with them. And when time comes that you feel like things are getting a little more urgent, then maybe just notify them that, hey, you know, we're kind of getting tight on the deadlines and you may see an uptick in response time. But one thing you don't want to do is get yourself stressed out about it. It's not really worth the stress. It's going to happen. They're going to realize that it has to happen in their timeline, and they're going to step up things. And if you were clear with all your communications, you told them that deadlines and dates are coming up, it's really not your problem when they actually have to face the stress of it. And if you did it right, you're going to just be able to cruise through the deal, work with them the way that they want to work, and your communications will be good. One thing you never want to do is allow communications to get between you and your clients. You never want to come off as someone that's testy, someone that's aggravated with them because they're not doing it the way you want it done at the times you want it done. You want to make yourself available. You do want to lay down the guidelines of when you're available, what time of day you're off. Maybe you say, I don't answer my calls after 8 p.m. If they call after 8 p.m., I get back to you the next day by 10 a.m. You might want to set certain parameters and guidelines like that. But you certainly don't want to force people into one box, because if you force everybody into one box, one time slot, one place and availability of what type of communication you use, you may be limiting your own business. I hope this podcast helps you when it comes to reaching out to your clients, getting more leads, growing your business. If you found this podcast helpful, make sure to tell your friends about it. If you haven't yet followed our group on Facebook, Real Facts on Real Estate, make sure to join up. There's a lot of information, blogs, posts, and everything about real estate. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to email me, PM me, DM me, whatever works best for you. Thanks for listening this week, and I look forward to talking to you next week.